community. And we're going to be going through this in the remainder of the month of May. And it's out of the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Acts or on your phone or whatever it is that you want to check it out. The book of Acts is really all about the development of a community, a new Jesus community. Community is something that, we might not use the word a lot, but it means a great deal to us. We sometimes refer to the community in terms of, you know, the community that we live in. Some of us live in Delta or White Rock or Langley or Surrey. I live in Surrey. It's been interesting for me to read the community newspaper recently and to get the different kinds of reactions that there are out there for what kind of community we have in the light of our mayor not running again for re-election. And you get the letters in and lots of different perspectives as to whether we're a better community now or a worse community. And it's very fascinating to me to see that depending on your own special interests kind of, you know, areas, you might rate it good or bad, kind of depending on, you know, what your interest is and what you're hoping to get out of this community. For some that, you know, the city doesn't matter much, but maybe we all care about being around with friends, being in a group with people that we experience this kind of feeling like, we're at home, we're together. Might be a family, might be a group of friends, some surrounded oftentimes by in some sort of special interest of some sort. This last week, I was sitting at Starbucks on the patio, beautiful week, and waiting for somebody to meet with somebody. I was there a little bit early, and I was just kind of doing some work on my phone, but I couldn't help but hear a conversation that was going right in the table next to you. You know how it is sometimes. And it was two guys talking about cars. And it was really interesting. They were talking about a specific kind of car and, you know, what you put into that car, the different models of that car, who has that car. And it became evident that they were part of a car club. And it was like one guy kind of talking and introducing the other guy who's kind of newer to the car community. And they were just really into it. And some of you guys might go, yeah, I get that. Like, that's cool. If we get talking about a car, some of you might be going, I have no clue. I did like that. It has no interest for me whatsoever. But it did for them. Somehow it's touched something inside of them. Now, for the new community that developed in the book of Acts, there was something incredible that had touched their hearts in a very deep way. And they were a new community that was born out of Easter, out of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And now they were coming together going, wow, we have seen, we have known. We just went through kind of book of John, and we believe this is what community, this is what life is. It's community with God, and it's community with each other. And that just kind of captured them. But what's really cool, and today I want to talk about, I want to give you, I don't always do this, but, alliteration, L, I want to, four words that start with L. And I want to give you four words that start with hell. With hell. No, not hell. L this morning. it's the opposite. The right kind of community is heaven. Loving Jesus, learning about Jesus, living out Jesus, and we're going to do liturgy. Okay, so that's pretty slick. Four L words here this morning. I want to just kind of unpack in the book of Acts chapter 2 specifically. Now, this new group of believers were told to wait. They were told to wait by Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, wait for the power, for the spirit of this community to come. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling everyone, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here they were, this new little band of believers. It wasn't many people, really. And they're waiting, and they're in Jerusalem. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, okay? Pentecost, I guess literally in Greek, it's Penta is 50. 50 days after the Passover, so 7 weeks, one day, 49 plus one, they're there. They're in a room together. Technically, I guess this year it would fall on June 8th. So we're a little bit ahead of the schedule here. But they waited until that day, and there was a feast of weeks. There was a feast of people coming into, and so people were in Jerusalem from all over the place celebrating this festival of Pentecost. And then in verse 1 of chapter 2, I don't think we have it up here, but on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. So there's this whole group of people. And it says, suddenly there was a sound like rushing wind. Okay? You've been hearing on the news the tornadoes down in the States. Okay, guys talk about going down to the basement and listening to this thing happening upstairs. Then they go upstairs and see the devastation. Well, it was a sound of rushing wind, but it wasn't wind. Okay, so they heard it, and then they saw what looked like tongues of fire. So it was like, I don't know, fireworks or something above their heads, and it came to rest upon them. And it says then that when that happened, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Talk about an inauguration for a community, kind of a group, hey? Like, talk about a ribbon-cutting kind of experience. They had the sound of a tornado, the sound of wind, and then fire actually coming upon them. So it says in verse 5, and this is where I think we pick it up here, it says, at that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear that their own languages were being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Then they go on to say, what are the languages? Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. What a fascinating kind of situation. You can imagine hundreds, even thousands of people hearing this spectacular sound, seeing this thing happen, and then all of a sudden, these guys from Galilee, they know they're from Galilee, it's kind of an out-of-the-way place, speaking about Jesus in their own language. I was thinking about that. What would be the modern-day equivalent? Well, we had all the nations come to Vancouver 4 years ago for the Olympics, right? And can you imagine if there was a group of guys, say from an out-of-the-way place like, let's say Merritt, okay? And they're just hanging out there at a restaurant, you know, just sitting there together. And all of a sudden, this spectacular kind of evidence happens. And then, all of a sudden, they start speaking in all the languages of all these nations that are in Vancouver at the time. That would have been a little bit of people would walk around, these are cowboys and loggers and farmers and miners, and they're speaking our language. That's what these people are doing. These guys are from an out-of-the-way place called Galilee, and they're all, like, speaking our language. And they're talking about this person, Jesus. And they were confused. They were wondering what was going on. Well, what happened was this gift of the Holy Spirit was coming. And it was filling them, and it was taking over them. And this power that Jesus had promised, and Jesus always follows through on his promises, were coming to fulfillment right there in front of them. What God was doing in this incredible sign was showing that Jesus is for everybody. Now you think about the many different ways that the Holy Spirit could have come. It could have been a lot of different kind of circumstances, a lot of different kinds of signs. It could have been at a very different time and kind of a little out-of-the-way place. But it was in a very public place, in a very public way. God was saying, this isn't just Jesus for from Galilee, for just a little group of Galileans. This isn't just for a certain kind of ethnic group or a certain kind of socioeconomic class. It was like for everyone. And so Jesus came and said, you know what, I want to touch people in their own heart language. I imagine most of these people would have spoken Aramaic or Greek. They would have been there, understood that. But Jesus came to them to their hearts, where they're at. That's powerful. When you think about it, that's what God does in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to touch our lives in a very powerful and personal way. That's what he did for these people right there. And he wanted people to come together in community, to know each other. So he reached out to them in all their different languages. When you think about this, this is actually the opposite of what happened way back in Genesis. Some of you know the story of Babel, where the people all came together. At that time, they did all speak the same language. They were all coming together. They said, we need to build a huge monument to ourselves. It was based on their own pride. And God came and said, no, that's not what it's about. It's not about you. It's about me. And so in that place, the judgment was they all got different languages. They got confused and they scattered. They scattered. They lacked community. They didn't have community. And here was God coming and saying, I want to give you the Holy Spirit. You're going to see, and even through these signs, it's going to be about God. It's not going to be about these Galileans. It's going to be about God. And you're going to come together, and the languages are going to come together. People are going to come together in community. You know, our world desperately needs that. You look at the news. You look at what's going on even in our neighborhoods. It's people coming together and understanding it doesn't matter where we're coming from. It's all about Jesus. We're coming together on that. But, you know, in order for that to happen, there really needs to be something that happens powerfully within us, a supernatural kind of power. I think people are always looking for that. The art of politics is somehow negotiating all the different special interest groups and everything. But when it comes to Christian community, when it comes to Jesus community, it's like, I'm not trying to negotiate everybody's interests here. Our interest is Jesus. It's what he's done for us. It's what's in our lives. And for all those who believe that, something very powerful happens, and the gift of the Holy Spirit comes into us. Now, when a person believes in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. I think it's so important to understand that. The very presence of God comes into our lives. The third person of the Trinity comes into our lives. It's a gift that's given to us. It's a grace. It's something that we just go, okay, God, I just want this. I think as Christ followers, some of you might have had a very profound moment where maybe in a peaceful way you knew when you believed in Jesus that something different had changed inside of you. Some of you might have even had something more spectacular like this happen. I don't think it's the spectacularness or unspectacularness of it that matters. It's just that he's done that in us. And then the life of the Christian and community is living out that giftedness, living out the Spirit in our lives. You know, it's so easy in our lives to think, again, like the Tower of Babel, it's just all about me. It's about my skills. It's about my intellect. It's about what I have just in my own human effort. And God wants to keep bringing us back and saying, what can the Holy Spirit do in your life? Maybe even here this morning, you want to just kind of think about that for a moment. If I'm up against something and in my own effort, in my own strength, it's not working, what could the Holy Spirit do? If I just kind of release and surrender, and that's what it requires. In order for the Holy Spirit to come and to continually fill us up, and I believe that God always wants to come and fill us up. We empty, you know, just our regular life. The Spirit is emptying out of me. Then we just say, God, can you fill me up? I need you in my life. That's what he did with these people. He filled them up. And in that particular situation, they were given all these different languages to speak. Amazing how God works. What God wants to do in every community is bring all the gifts together, very different gifts. In the New Testament, as we read through it, there's different gifts of the Spirit. And they all complement each other. So all of us come into community with something to offer. And it's not based on us. It's God doing it through us. What is so cool about Christian community is everyone is needed. Everyone fits in together in part of the puzzle. And we all come with a different gift. I mean, those gifts vary. There's lists in the Bible of different ones. And people say, you know, there's lists. But there's also many more than that. But, you know, you come with God's gifting of, it might be speaking, it might be encouragement, it might be mercy, it might be helps, just practical things. It might be some sort of creative gift. Whatever it is, God just comes in and says, you know what, I want you to use that. And I think the great thing about community is when everybody comes knowing that they have a gift to give, they want to live out that giftedness because the Holy Spirit is in you and it's in me and we're just relying on him to fill us up. And as we're filled up, we're able to use those gifts. So the cool thing, as I live out giftedness in community, community grows, it develops, it deepens. Second L, learn. Part of community is coming alongside and together learning. Nobody comes to community as an expert. All of us are learning together. All of us are stumbling and falling, but we keep coming back. We keep going, you know what? This is God's inspired word. We want to learn from him. And we're learning from the Holy Spirit who's helping us to understand this. So at that time, in this situation, Peter understood that. Peter had actually spent time with Jesus, and Kevin talked about that last week, about how Peter had come along, and Peter had been there with Jesus. But then when Jesus went to trial, Peter denied him, charcoal fire. Then afterwards, by charcoal fire, he comes back, gives him a new name. Peter was learning. Peter sometimes was a little hard to learn. He jumped at things, you know, he thought he knew it all kind of thing. But he kept coming back and learning. Well, in this situation, we have Peter, who's still learning, but he's learned a lot more than the people that are sitting there. And he gets up and he starts using words to help people understand what's going on. Because some people got it all wrong. They got mixed up. In verse 13, it says, so some people started asking questions. What does this mean? They wanted to learn more. Others, it says in the crowd, ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about it. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. So Jewish prayers, that would have been what was happening in the morning, not drinking excessively. He says, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on them. It's kind of neat, the play on words. You know, there's spirits like alcohol, and there's this Holy Spirit, right? And oftentimes that word is kind of used as it's something that takes over you, okay, in a good way, not an inebriated sort of way, and it takes over you. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Make us all the more conscious, all the more alert to what he wants to do in our lives. And so Peter was helping people understand. He got up and he used words. You know, when the Holy Spirit and his gifts are working in our lives, there's going to be good things that come out of our lives. And then it's really helpful if we use words to help people understand it. Now, we're in a learning process. We might not know everything. Peter certainly didn't know everything at this point. He made mistakes in the book of Acts as well. But he got up and he helped people to understand it. I think the question for us, too, is, will I step up and help people understand? There's a lot of people that have misgivings about Jesus' community, about church, about who God is, and they just need somebody to explain it. Now, some people are willing to listen, others not. We have to be sensitive to that. But Peter stepped up, and you can think about it. He had to do that in a pretty courageous way. He shouted at them. He said, you guys, you can imagine there's all this commotion. He had to speak above the crowd. And he started connecting the dots. And for this group of people, because they understood the Old Testament, a lot of people today don't, so you'd use a different approach today. But he said, okay, you guys know the book of Joel, you know, Joel the prophet? He prophesied about this. He said this was going to happen. It's happening. And he started connecting the dots. And then he went further and he goes, you know, King David, and everybody knew King David back then, he said, this is what King David said about Jesus. In Acts 2, verse 25, he says, King David said this about him, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. And he's going, the he is Jesus. The he is now Jesus who's physically has gone back to heaven, but the Holy Spirit is there with you. And because of that, he's always beside me. He's right beside me. You've shown me the way of life. You will fill me with the joy of your presence. And that's exactly what was happening here. Everybody was just excited. They were so thrilled that God was still with them. He was beside them. And so Peter took the opportunity to say, you know what? This is what it means. This is what's going on. There's an awesome opportunity as we allow ourselves to be filled with the Spirit to help people connect the dots. You know, in a lot of different ways, people think, well, you know, that Christian group is just a special interest group of some sort, and it's for a certain kind of people. And we can come alongside and say, no, no, it's for everyone. Everyone, all over the world, and help people to understand that. And so Peter did that. He got up, too, and he spoke very candidly about who Jesus is and what had happened to him. And he always brought it back to Jesus. You know, the great thing about the Christian community that Jesus is always doing, we wander off and we think it's about us. We think it's about this aspect or that aspect. And the gospel is always centering back on Jesus. So what we have here in the book of Acts chapter 2 is Peter giving this incredible talk that captivated them. They're going, oh, okay, Joel, David, he quoted from Psalm 16, quoted from Psalm 110. And then he brings it home in verse 36. He says, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, by the way, to be both Lord and Messiah. So he's saying, like 50 days ago, Jesus was crucified right here, outside the city gates in Jerusalem. And now, what has happened is, he's left to heaven, but he's given us his presence in the Holy Spirit. The power of Jesus is here amongst you. And then it says in verse 37, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just really simple, really plain. It's like, repent of your sins. I'm going this way. Okay, God, you're out of my life. I'm doing whatever. It's getting messy over here. Turn from those sins. Turn to God. And then as a result of that, get baptized. Show others that the name of Jesus is there, that he has forgiven your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's like, it's for everyone. It's not just us, the select group that just got it. It's for everyone. It's an incredible thing. And the response was that those who were willing to learn and understand, those who believed what Peter said, were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So you can imagine what kind of scene this was. Big crowd. 3,000 people getting baptized. I always had a hard time imagining that. Like, how would you do, get, you know, how would you baptize in one day 3,000 people? And last year I had an opportunity to go to Israel, and I was able to understand it a little bit more for the first time. We ended up outside of the walls of the temple, right here. I think I have a picture. There, and there's these massive walls, okay? So it goes way up, but there's these kind of gates there. And you can go to the next one. And that's kind of a side shot, but yeah, I couldn't capture. I'm not a very good photographer either. But there's a temple right behind that wall. Now, that's where these people probably were, right outside the temple, because that's what they were there for, was for the temple. And you understand that the temple was, in Judaism, was the place that God had said, my spirit will be here in the Holy of Holies, and you'll come there. That's why they were there. People always kind of gathered back to Jerusalem. It's kind of like the Mecca idea. And they would get back to Jerusalem, and then they would offer up sacrifices, and that's where they would have these celebrations. And so they would go in there, and that was the regular thing. Now, here was what God was doing. He was fulfilling and actually doing something brand new with the Holy Spirit coming. So when you read the Old Testament, you always have to interpret it in light of Pentecost and what God's doing. Because now, the Holy Spirit wasn't just in that place and just kind of visiting people at particular times. He actually was for everyone all the time. It was like accessible to everyone. And so they responded, and you see right behind there, our leader's just getting ready here to talk about Pentecost to us there with the hat on. Behind there is the archaeological kind of digs. And everywhere you go in Israel, you find these kind of baptismal pools. They don't call them that. They call them mikvahs. It literally means a collection of water. And you can see again and again, there's always that sense. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know we've got sin. We know that we're unclean, that we need to be cleansed. And so their kind of sense is, before I go into the presence of God, I need to be cleansed. Like there was all these ritual cleansings that they were about. So it would happen again and again and again. And when you'd come, you'd go into these mikvahs and get kind of baptized. You'd get cleansed, and then you'd come back out. And then you would go into God's presence. What's very cool is, on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't about cleansing yourself to go into the presence of God. It was the presence of God coming into you. And then yours, by way of celebration, by way of expressing it, you would get baptized. Very cool how that worked. And people got it. They understood. They believed. Peter helped them to understand. They went, oh, okay, this is a whole new deal. This is how baptism works. This is about me just demonstrating, and Kevin was just talking about it in the announcements, that it's a celebration of the forgiveness of your sins. That you're not perfect. You're going to mess up. It's not an arrival point. None of these people were there yet. Many of them, they didn't understand much. They had just heard one talk by Peter. And they just went, okay, we get it. Let's start on that journey together. 3,000 people got baptized. What an incredible celebration. Baptism is that kind of celebration that says, God has cleansed me. I may or may not feel any different, but he's done something very powerful in me. The Holy Spirit is in my life. I'm showing that by showing that I've been cleansed. I'm getting baptized. In the new community, I love others together with Jesus. So community actually, it means coming together. It means coming together. And it starts to describe here in the following verses in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 43 says, they devoted themselves, this is what they did. So there's 3,000 people, and some of them probably would have gone back home, but a whole other group started emerging. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You know, I talked about the four L's this morning. They're all there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, so they were learning about Jesus. Now, the apostles' teaching would have been what we now have written down. It wasn't written yet. So they were learning about that, learning about Jesus through the teaching. To fellowship, they were loving each other in Jesus. To the breaking of bread, the liturgy. And everyone was filled with awe, the many wonders and signs. They were living it out. The apostles at that time were given a special anointing for the wonders and signs that they were living out amongst themselves. And then it says in verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 46 and 47, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So that all these other people are watching this going on. I want in. I want in on this. This is amazing. If this is what real community is about, I want it. That's the powerful kind of expression when the Holy Spirit is alive and active among us. There's a line in there that I just want to, there's a few lines in this passage I want to bring to your attention as we close. All the believers were together and had everything in common. It says in here that they were together and they met together, but I think more significantly, they were together. Meeting together was just kind of an expression of them being together, of this togetherness that they felt. They couldn't get enough of each other. They would meet in church, and they would meet in homes. They would meet in large groups, and they would meet in small groups. They were individuals, but now they were together. They were different in culture and language, but everyone was included. What an incredible picture of what God does. It's not special interest groups. It's everything interested in Jesus, who brings community into our lives. I think it's so cool that when you may have had this in business, you bump into another Christ follower and you go, oh, we got something in common here. You travel somewhere and you bump into somebody and you go, this is cool. Something even completely different language, different ethnicity, whatever it might be, it's just like, we're together. The sign of life for this new community was this togetherness. You didn't have to tell these people, now go to church or go to a small group. There's something good about urging people to do it, but there was no guilt trip about this. It's not like, pack your bags, we're going on a guilt trip here. It was like, we want to be together. Like, we can't get enough of each other. Just like with a baby, you don't command a baby to cry. A baby just cries. It's a sign of life. A sign of life for the Holy Spirit being in our lives, individually and collectively, is we're together. It's an incredible thing. And others want in. Others want in because they see that. All the while praising God. So there's just this, like, God's so great kind of thing. Verse 47 says, all the while praising God. It's an easy line to miss in there, but I think what happens is when you come together in community with Jesus, you go, that is so amazing. What he did, how he lived, how he died, how he came back to life. I just want to talk about it. And in fact, our joy is not just expressed in talking about it, it's actually completed. I think what's cool about praise, and it wouldn't make sense to somebody who doesn't see the beauty of who Jesus is. But for those who see the beauty of Jesus, they go, I get it. Like, I want to talk about it. I want to explore it some more. I want to learn about it. I want to tell others about it. Because it's so amazing to see. C.S. Lewis, he writes, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise doesn't just express, but completes the enjoyment. So it's not like just, I just said that. It's like somehow things get completed when you talk about it. That's what you need community for. It is appointed consummation, is what C.S. Lewis writes. It is not simply to compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how